Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Now, hot weather continues and we're all outside having fun at barbecues, fairs and street parties. But have you ever noticed how, well, we're great at recycling and trying to do the right thing at home, but when we organise a party or a summer fair, well, that's it, isn't it? All our good intentions go by the wayside. So I thought it might be good to hear from Anatoly, who was one of the organisers of a street party in St Albans this weekend. But not just any old street party. This was a plastic-free street party. Anatoly, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So how did you come up with the idea of making your street party plastic-free?
It was quite simple. The residents who volunteered to help organise the street party came to the meeting and it was brought up very quickly and we all agreed that it was important. I think we spent a few minutes discussing on how we were going to reinforce it, but in the end it all worked out perfectly.
Wow, that's fantastic then. So have you had street parties before in Roundtree Road?
10 years since I've been there, and there were street parties before, but I think it picked up about 10 years ago.
So we've had
lovely parties every year after year, yes.
So in previous years, how have you dealt with rubbish? How has it been?
It was always a bit of an issue. People tend to leave their rubbish behind, even though their hearts are in the right places. There was always an issue. As it's on our street, most of us just pull out our wheelie bins and a large bin liner and.
So it was kind of one of those things, actually, that typically that, you know, when we're quite good at recycling for most of the time, but when it comes to the street party or the school fair or the big event, it all just goes into the black bin bag, straight into the landfill bin.
We did have our recycling bins out as well. I can't recall if people were serious about it, but my husband and I are serious about it. So we were probably the ones at the end sorting out a little bit.
Okay. And as far as the rubbish goes, was it a problem? Was it sort of like, okay, we have to now tidy up everything at the end? And
it was that. It took time to tidy up. So that means more volunteers, because not everybody is necessarily going to help more than a few minutes and then walk away.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then there was filling the bins.
Yeah.
And then, yes, there's that element of why aren't we recycling everything? And also, I think probably the most remarkable thing about this year's party was that everyone just had their identifiable cup or plate. And I think that was actually quite nice. So there's no rubbish at the end. And people knew where they were drinking from in plastic cups.
So in previous years, it's not that just that you'd produced a lot of plastic waste, but also that it had been, you know, rubbish had been a problem. It meant that people at the end had the, you know, sort of job of sort of going round and tidying up. So actually by getting rid of those single-use plastics, you just made it easier to organise as well.
100%, Amanda. That's exactly right. That is what I loved most about yesterday, is we felt good about having no single-use plastic at the event, but I didn't expect to come away from the party realising that was even better than I expected. Cross that bridge when you get there, but there was no clearing up to do. Everyone just picked up their main cups and plates and walked away.
So you just told people to bring, if they wanted to drink out of a glass, bring a glass. If you want to drink out of a mug, bring a mug, bring your own plate. And people did that, do they?
Absolutely. I think some people missed the memo, but they're busy schedules. But the majority of the people.
And what did they think? Did they feel they were being sort of nannied? You've got to do this. Or on the whole, did people, you know, take it in the spirit that it was intended?
I think everyone just got on board. It was that simple.
Wow.
And then the people who didn't, who missed the memo, who didn't think of it before they walked away, I think they did feel, they'll definitely show up with their own things next year.
Well, that's great. This is hopefully the first of many. So how about things like, you know, quite often with street parties, we like to make the street look lovely, don't we? We might have some plastic bunting and some balloons and things. What do you do about that sort of thing?
Everything that we used, we didn't throw away. So reduce, reuse, recycle, right? So we have to reduce and reuse before we recycle. So that's what we did. I borrowed the bunting from the local preschool, Old Ludden Road Preschool. They had some Union Jack flag bunting. So we used that. That was made of plastic. However, I know that it's been reused year after year, and we use that, and that'll be going back to the school. And then we had some cloth bunting as well. No other decorations. We didn't bother with balloons or anything that was wasted. I think the only thing maybe that was disposable were some napkins that ran away.
Right.
But even that, we had a resident turn up with a stack of small plates that she was going to send to a charity shop this week.
Right.
She brought those, and everyone just brought their children's hard plastic for some cake.
Okay, so there was no problem there. Actually, you were, as you say, you were just reusing and borrowing, which is, you know, ultimately the best thing to do, isn't it? Rather than using brand new things all the time. So is there anything that you'd have done differently? Anything that you're sort of thinking, well, next year we can do that even a bit better? Or did you nail it this year?
I think it was pretty simple. Yeah, I think we nailed it.
Well, that's really good.
I think
isn't
an awareness the awareness was made, and how easy it was to be aware and to act on it was pretty simple and straightforward.
Okay.
I mean, people are ready. People know enough about it now. You just need someone to ask you to do it. You know, some people just follow through. So, for example, our school fair this Saturday. We didn't plan it months ago, but all of a sudden, a few people just mentioned, why aren't we doing single free?
This was St. Peter's School, am I right?
St. Peter's School had it recently, and now the Abbey School, that's where my children go to school. We're going to do that this Saturday.
So, and did they work as well? You know,
We're about to have it, so it's this Saturday coming.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's brilliant, isn't it? That really does feel like, you know, once one organisation does it, then another thing is we can do it too, and people are receptive to the idea.
Indeed. It's happening very quickly, and I think that's really important. Everyone is ready to accept the facts and to move forward. And I think it was Anita Roddick from the Body Shop who recently said that I heard on Radio 4 that 20 years ago she tried to introduce this idea of no plastic in her shops, where you showed up with your own bottles and your own containers.
That, yes.
And she said that we the people, were not ready.
No.
And I just believe that she was ahead of our time. And we are ready now.
We're ready.
People are ready to make that effort.
Okay. So there'll be plenty of other people, you know, the coming weekends, they're organising their street parties, or as you say, their summer fairs. Just a couple of top tips for them?
You know, if you bring your own mug or if you do bring plastic, make it reusable and make it fun. There are so many fun things that you could do to make it enjoyable, and your children... Children love their own water bottles. They identify with it. So if you like...
I suppose just painting it in a particular way or just getting something and buying something a little bit different.
Exactly.
It's your chance to be individual, isn't it?
Rather than
everybody with their white paper plates.
Absolutely. And you could spot it a mile away and you will go looking for it at the end of the party
That's right.
So why not?
Fantastic. That is the right message, isn't it? Thank you very much indeed for coming to share that with us.
Thank you, Amanda.
There we go. Well, that was a great story, wasn't it? Showing how doing the right thing by the environment can have real benefits in other areas too. And also, actually, how, you know, a good idea put into action can really spread, can't it? Great to hear that school fairs are joining in the plastic-free idea as well. Now, you might have seen that newly released data from the Department of Transport shows that the number of electric vehicles in St Albans has grown from 6 to 409 in just 5 years, with the biggest jump in the last few years. Now, whilst I had Natalie in the studio to talk about the plastic-free street party, she let on that she has an electric car, so I took the opportunity to ask her about her experience with it. So, Natalie, how long have you had your electric car for?
Just over a year, Amanda.
Oh, so quite new there. So why did you decide to buy it?
My husband and I are environmentally aware, and me being a St Albans mum, I'm in and out of the house all day, just driving the children or picking up groceries, running errands. We do walk a lot, but in some cases we have to use the car. And
I will confirm that Natalie has arrived with her little scooter, actually.
Indeed.
And when I say scooter, I mean the one that you use your feet on. So
Yes, it's an adult scooter. That's the newest addition to our...
So you're definitely not car-bound people, but you still find you've got those journeys to make.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the best thing about having the electric car is that I don't feel guilty just getting in and out of the car to go for a minute away or 100 metres away. Not that I do it often, but just to... run to school, for example, quickly.
Right. Okay. And it was the sort of emissions thing that was concerning to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I walk the children to school and it's just chock-a-block traffic.
Yes.
You know, I often tell my children to just hold your breath just till we get past this road.
And So it was really, I suppose it was, you know, thinking about the health of your children and other children that they're at school with.
Absolutely. For the children, for ourselves and for the future, indeed.
Yeah. Okay. So I suppose the question is, has it lived up to expectation then?
It has, and more. It is, it's a good car for starters. So, you know, that is one of the requirements. You need to enjoy the car. It needs to work for you.
Yeah.
And it's a good car. It's incredibly spacious. So for a family car, it's incredibly spacious.
Okay. And we don't, there's plenty of makes out there, but what make of car have you got?
It's a Nissan Leaf.
It's a Nissan Leaf, okay.
So it's last 2 years ago model. We've leased it, so it's just over a year, 14 months. We'll be upgrading to the next model next year. It's the first time we've leased a car, but we find it works really well. And like anything in technology, when it improves, that next jump is really significant. So
yeah, absolutely, that's right. And it's one of the more popular types of electric car. So if people were thinking of getting a car, it might be one they would think about.
Indeed.
So the nice things about it, you say it's nice and spacious. Some people say the quiet is a nice thing.
Oh, that is. I mean, when you have a family, the space is very important.
Yeah.
It's incredibly quiet. And when I get into friends' cars now, and I find it so noisy. You do get used to it. It is. There's something to be said about that silence in the car.
Yeah, I think that quiet is, noise is supposed to be stressful and cause a stress.
Indeed.
So presumably quiet is restful, which is great. Which
Absolutely.
Is lovely. So, okay, so how about the tricky things then? How about the range anxiety? How about the sort of concern about running out of charge? How's that worked for you?
For myself, it's quite easy. As I mentioned, I'm a stay-at-home parent, and I'm mostly around St. Albans and the general areas, but it's very easy to drive for an hour and charge it for maybe another 10, 15 minutes at a charging point and come home again. Or often you can even make it back on that full range. People don't realise just how far you can go. So for myself, it's worked out perfectly. If I had an average week of being a parent and drove my children around and did groceries, etc., I could drive my car without charging it for at least 10 days.
Wow, that's certainly, I suppose, would be more than people would expect. So that's good news. So do you have a charging point at home?
We do have a charging point at home, but more often than not, I tend to charge my car at other places. The Nissan dealership has a high-speed charging point, so that takes about 35 minutes. I have myself a cup of coffee or make a phone call, and that's done. Also, I tend to charge in town in St. Albans Upper Diagonal. They have two spots there that are quite often free.
Yeah, I think there's about eight spotted around the district. So you know, what do you think if you didn't have your charging point at home? Do you think you would still be able to manage?
I think it would be more difficult. I think for families who didn't have a charging or wouldn't be able to get a charging point, there would probably be a challenge there. However, I think that's a call to the city to get more charging points available.
Yeah.
There was one on London Road, for example, that has been out of use for over a year, and that's a real shame. But on my small road, which has maybe about 30 homes, and on the opposite side, it's two cul-de-sacs, so it's a small road. There are two Nissan Leafs. So wouldn't it be fantastic if we had a charging point on either side?
Mm.
And then that would very much encourage my neighbours to follow suit.
Yeah, I'm sure it would do. It would certainly make it a lot easier for them, wouldn't it? So just how about cost? I mean, electric cars are quite expensive to buy. Are they expensive to run?
Absolutely nothing to run. Very, very minimal charge. We had to service the car, which was actually a bit annoyed about because I thought, well, what's there to service on an electric car? It's running smoothly. The batteries are running fine and there's nothing else, you know, very little. There are no taxes to pay on the car. There are no charges, no petrol.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you even get free parking.
Wow, that's quite an incentive by itself,
Indeed.
Isn't it? That's fantastic. So you have another car. Do you have a petrol car as well?
We do have a petrol car. My husband drives it to Cambridge.
Yeah.
But when we bought the Leaf, the idea was that he took the electric car 2 days a week into Cambridge, and that's about an hour's drive, yeah. about 60 miles.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and he could very easily make it there. There's a charging point at work, and he drives it back, and we yeah. charge it overnight.
That's quite a long commute that he does with it, isn't it?
Indeed.
Now, do you think you could manage if you just had the electric car?
As my husband works in Cambridge, we do need two cars. And I think that was one of the incentives to getting an electric car. He does a little more long yeah. distance, and I do the running around the city. But our plan is the next car, the next family car is yeah. to be a hybrid, simply because of my husband working in Cambridge. But who's to say that next year when the newer models come out, you know, my husband could very easily get to Cambridge and back. So who's to say we wouldn't have two electric cars in a few years' time?
Fantastic. So it sounds like you feel now like your future is with electric.
The future is electric. So I would just say it makes a huge difference once you do own an electric car. It you feel very different. You feel like you're doing the right thing. And I know that a lot of people would love to have it as well. It starts discussion, and it's usually a very good discussion. The government needs to do a little bit more. I know in Holland, for example, I just saw an ex-colleague on the weekend, and he said there are charging points on every street corner, you know, practically in Amsterdam.
Yes.
And we should be considering this very strongly.
Well, and as you say, perhaps as more people own cars, and certainly in St. Albans numbers are booming, then it will start to push the ball, and we'll get that rolling, and there will be more demand and more electric points out there. And as you say, you're
Absolutely.
Starting that ball rolling.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much and coming, sharing your experience with me.
Thanks, Amanda.
And I was talking there to Natalie, just telling us about how she loves her electric car. So perhaps something to consider if you're thinking of replacing your car. Now, whilst this hot weather is not great for things like frogs, it is great for butterflies. And it looks like the sunshine is set to continue, so it will be a great weekend for some butterfly spotting. Now, you'll remember that a couple of weeks back, John Horsfield from Butterfly World 2.0 told us about their National Meadows Day event that's coming up this Saturday, 7th of July, at Spring Meadow at Welpley Hill. And John joined me on the phone just to update us on what we've got to look forward to. John, thank you for joining me. So is everything looking good for your event this weekend?
I think so, and it looks as though the sun's shining.
Indeed, and butterflies, of course, they love this sunshine, don't they?
Oh, they're out there galore.
Yeah, excellent. So just give us a roundup of what we can look forward to.
Well, I think the most important thing I want to talk about today is the provision for children. This is a wonderful, wonderful location for kids. Not only have you got the wildlife meadows, but we've got lots of activities. Give you one particular example. There's going to be a Welsh cob horse, which is a large, like a cart horse.
Yeah.
And children are going to be allowed to use a long rein and steer that horse around the haystacks.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
There's also a quite an interesting water spiral, storytelling, face painting, etc., etc. And we're hoping as many children as possible will come dressed as bugs, butterflies or bees.
Fantastic. So, a fancy dress opportunity, lots of activities. That sounds like the perfect family day out.
I think it will be. And the other aspect of this is, for the first time, because of my disability, I haven't got to see this site. I've just been talking about it.
Yes.
I got there in a buggy last week, and it's absolutely fantastic. I just can't tell you. It's one of the most beautiful sites I've ever been on.
Oh.
One day I'll do an interview with you and talk about the whole thing. But for now, I just want to say that anyone that comes are going to be in for an absolute natural treat.
An absolute treat. Excellent. So that's this Saturday. Just remind us of the time, John.
Yes, the time starts at 5 o'clock. Sorry, 12 o'clock. It finishes at 5. And it's at Spring Meadow Farm, Welpley Hill, Berkhamsted. And the postal code is HP42SX.
2SX. Brilliant. Well, we hope it goes really well, John. Thank you very much for taking the time to tell us a little bit more about
Thanks for finding time for me, Amanda. Well done.
And there I was talking to John Horsfield from Butterfly World 2.0. So do go and join them on Saturday. Just in case there is any football on, they are thinking about getting a screen so you can enjoy that there as well. Now, there's another Butterfly event for you to enjoy this weekend. The Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust are holding a Butterfly and Wildlife Walk at Balls Wood, 10:30 till 12:30 on Sunday. You're invited to seek out butterflies, birds and moths and dragonflies at this special wood and heathland reserve with one of their experts. And in particular, you'll be looking for large woodland butterflies like the White Admiral, Silver-washed Vitellia, and if you're very lucky, a Purple Emperor. Now, meadows are important for butterflies, and on Sunday, the Herts Middlesex Wildlife Trust are running a one-day course on scything, an important skill for wildlife meadow management. The course will give you an introduction to traditional methods of meadow management to improve botanical interest. And that's at Hillfield Park Reservoir, 11 till 2 on Sunday. And the cost is £10 per person. And their reserves officer, Rob, he will explain why midsummer mowing to cut and remove vegetation after peak flowering is so important to wildflower meadows. And you're going to learn how to use a safe and efficient way of using a traditional scythe and how to bale hay without the use of mechanisation. So lovely traditional skills there. Now, do follow me on Twitter at RV_environment. Check out our podcasts on www.radioverulam.com/environment and drop me a line at amanda@radioverulam.com if you've got a comment about the show or ideas that you'd like us to cover. I'm going to be back at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening.